HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pep Talk. I'm Sharky Zartman, and today we have an incredible young man, Jake Doucet, a humanitarian activist, millennial spokesperson, and at age 23, the youngest published motivational author by Penguin Random House. We also have Kitty Marsh, the author of an enlightening book, Juicing Cannabis for Healing. She will tell us why she juices her medical marijuana and why it is now her only medicine. Also on Shark to Heart, I'll share some insights into having your best upcoming New Year ever. But first up is Jake Doucet, also known as the Millennial Spokesperson. He was named Amazon's youngest best-selling author with his first book, Into the Wind, and has a new book coming out in January, The Purpose Principles. And get this, the foreword is written by none other than Jack Canfield, the creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. So welcome, Jake.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, congratulations on your success. I mean, you are just rocking the publishing world. And so what inspired you to get into writing and to write your first book?
Well, I actually was never a writer. I failed my junior English class in high school, did really poorly always. And what got me into writing was that I started to believe that the purpose of life is to find our gift and share it with the world, that, you know, that what could be more awesome than to really do something that makes us feel like ourselves. And for me, I found writing made me feel like myself. I taught myself how to write, and I'm 23, I was 19, and I dropped out of school to backpack around the world and decided it would be fun to write my first book about it, and it's kind of out of the woodworks, did really well, and Penguin Random House picked me up for the new book, The Purpose Principles, and yeah, what inspired it was that I believe most of us are gambling on the biggest risk of all, and that's the bet that one day, then we can do what we want to do with our lives, and you know, I didn't want to waste my life, and writing felt like something that would, one, fulfill me, and two, I thought that, you know, it gave my life some meaning.
Well, that's awesome, but I understand that it says here that you fell off a cliff while backpacking. Tell us about that.
While I was traveling, you know, I had a six-month journey backpacking, just, you know, vagabonding, basically, and I was in Indonesia, and really what prompted this whole thing was that I was climbing up the rocks in the middle of the rain with locals on an island called Lombok, and they wanted to take me to their favorite waterfall. And we were, you know, unlike L.A., the trails are not paved in Indonesia, and it's pouring rain, we're climbing up the rocks, and, you know, imagine, here you are, you're out in the outskirts of civilization, and you slip on the moss, and it's pouring rain, and you fall. Mm-hmm. And so I'm falling like 10 feet, cover my head up, and had one of those life flash before me situations. And I fell. I hit the ground. I'm curled up. I landed on my side, thankfully, and like not on my head. And after I opened my eyes, I'm like, okay, my limbs are all working. I'm bleeding. I'm in shock. But, like, both my arms are working, both my legs are working, and when I rolled all the way over, one of these locals I was traveling with from Indonesia jumped off after me, and I started crying because it was the most incredible thing someone's ever done for me besides my mom birthing me, I think. And, man, that changed my whole life because it made me realize after about 30 minutes, these guys were able to pull me out, and I realized I was traveling around the whole world looking for something only to find, like, it was really within myself and that it wasn't about running away or quitting everything. And it was really about, you know, taking a stand for what I loved to do and what I believed in and really using my life to make something of it. And that was the inspiration that wanted me to get into writing.
That's a great story. That's a great story. I can't even imagine those people jumping off after you. That is really incredible. But you say in your definition of happiness, you said what happiness means to you is the only way to find it. That's a unique idea, because for most people, we think that happiness is the same for everybody. So can you explain that a little bit to us?
Yeah, I think everyone's totally unique and everyone's totally different, and I think that we have it backwards in the Western world where, like, we tell people what it means to live the good life.
Right.
But everyone likes different things. Everyone likes to spend their time in different ways. Everyone values different things, and quite frankly, a lot of us don't know what it is we like or what it is we value because we're always told by other people. And so I believe that the only way to, like, really be ourselves or to be happy is to first, like, know what that means to us, or go at, like, at least be starting to be curious about what it means to us. That I think happiness is something that, you know, is really created on our own terms.
Mm-hmm. Really, really good definition. I love that. I understand that you went on a silent meditation retreat. Is that correct? For 14 days?
Yeah. Well,
what was that like?
When I fell off the cliff, I was going to backpack for years. That was what I was going to do. And when I fell, I realized, you know, as I said, like, man, like, it was really about something within myself that's where I could really find my place in the world. And that's when I decided, you know, I had no religious or really much of a spiritual background, but something pulled me into 14-day silent meditation in Thailand, and that's how I ended my journey and really got, you know, the vision for my book and the vision for my life was through the 14-day silent meditation. And, you know, primarily what I learned is, like, thoughts stop us. And thoughts, like, they're just thoughts. And, like, my thoughts in my head were, of course, like, you've never done this before. What if you're going to go crazy? And, like, what's going to happen? And I'm uncomfortable. I've been sitting too long. All these thoughts all the time. We always have these thoughts. It takes us from this place to this place to this place to this story we make up in our head of something that may not even happen. We run through potential failures and potential anxieties that may not even occur. And when I was, like, able to really, like, realize, like, okay, this voice in my head's going to go on forever, but I don't need to totally let it control me. And that really was something that really changed my life and changed it allowed me to write, because there's that inner critic all the time, especially when creating our art, that says that's not good, write this instead, write that instead. And really diving beyond just all these insecure thoughts that I had, and I'm sure a lot of us can relate, was really a powerful experience.
Did you find, Jake, that not being able to talk made it easier for you to write?
Well, I wasn't able to write when I was in there.
Oh, you weren't? Ah.
Yeah, you couldn't. It wasn't, you know, like, I could if I really wanted to, but they advised us not to, so we'd really have to sit with ourselves. But when I write my books, I often write by myself, totally. But while we were in there, no, we were not allowed. It was just really about being with ourselves, and, like, I think we're usually we have so much to do. And then when we're home, there's so many things we can click on the internet or TV stations to go through. We're never really just, like, there with how we feel. And so that was a really great opportunity to really, like, tap into myself, you know, and I know everyone doesn't have the opportunity to do that. But I think, you know, if we can just find minutes here and there, 20 minutes at the end of the day, you know, where there is no noise coming around us, where we can really just, like, and, like, take that breath and, like, see, like, what's really going on inside myself? Like, is there anything trying to tell me something, you know? Is anything speaking to me? I think is a really great discipline to try and start to develop.
Right. You know, I find that most people cannot stay quiet for an hour. I'm a teacher, and you know, 14 days of not speaking is that's a tough challenge. That's congratulations on getting through that, and it sounds like you learned a lot.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you have some advice on how a person can turn their interests, spiritual practices, and lifestyle into what you call a labor of love and making a living, making a difference. That sounds like what you're doing. So how can other people follow what you're doing?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think there's kind of like we're at different places. There's some of us that we don't know what it is really that we're, you know, things that we're really interested in. We may not have any goals. And I think that asking the question, what would have to happen 1 year from now in order for you to look back and say it was your most successful, your most fulfilling year yet, I think is a great question. It could be something so little as losing 10 pounds or gaining 10 pounds of muscle, or it could be starting to, you know, in 12 months, I'd love to have a first draft of a book done, or I'd love to learn piano, or I'd love to learn to garden. I don't think we need to totally ditch everything in our life in order to, you know, find some more meaning and really start to develop those things we love. You know, it's a process over time, and so I think that's a great question, a great starting place to work from. And if we don't know what it is, you know, I think saying I don't know is a great blockage, you know, when we're like, well, what's something I'd love to, some goals I'd love to accomplish in 2015? Often we just say I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I think it stops us. And I think, so I always say, the one rule is you can't say I don't know. And, you know, it's, I think the first things, I write down 101 goals, and I really encourage everyone to give that a shot. And what I found for myself is, like, usually the first two or three goals are something usually more, you know, like, could be more of a thing or, you know, an accolade or a material thing. And by the time I get down to maybe 5 or maybe it's 70, it really starts to be a process of diving within myself, like, man, what do I want? Like, what am I about? Like, what am I interested in learning and doing? And I think it's not always knowing the answer, but I think asking the question, you know, sparking that curiosity is really a great place to go from. And, you know, today we see business models can be built in anything. There's people that are Harry Potter fans that have 7- and 8-figure incomes, violin instructors, you know, yoga instructors making a bunch of money. The seemingly most unconventional ways to really build a labor of love. And so it's out there. I think the first step is like really starting to ask ourselves these questions and really start to, you know, get outside of our box a little bit. And then, you know, things like that I talk about in my new book, The Purpose Principles, like the rule of five things every single day that you can do to move closer to your goals, whether it's writing a book or whether it's getting healthier or whether it's having a, you know, more cohesive family environment or whether it's just being the person that you want to be, you know, doing a few things every single day towards those goals, even if they're small, eventually we're really going to be making some serious progress towards really taking that next step in the life that we've imagined.
Right. I think a lot of us tend to procrastinate. We go, oh, well, I'll do something tomorrow right? Or
yeah,
next week. Right?
So. Yeah, and that's why I think I call it the rule of five.
Okay, and, I like that.
When I wake up in the morning or when I go to bed, before I go to bed the night before, I write down the five things for the next day that I'm going to accomplish. So if I'm going to bed, if it's before I go to bed, I write the date for the next day and I write five things. It could be small things. Today, I had an interview with you, another one at 2, I had another one at 8:30. That's three things to move closer to my goal right there. I have a couple calls and emails as well. Just five things, you know. It's not 70 things in one day and then burn out and sleep for 2 days because we pulled 24 hours consecutive. Just five little things. And I think when we can just get a couple of those things done and writing them down, I think has a real power in it. So I call that the rule of five, and I think it's a great way to keep us on track when we don't know what exactly we should do. Well, what are five little things to do? Mm-hmm. And I think that starts building, and we start building momentum, confidence. Well, maybe I can't. Like, oh, I did five things today. I can do that tomorrow. 2 weeks later, wow. And, you know, we start building the confidence, and I think we start to realize we may not be as big as procrastinators as we think we are.
Right, right. I love the idea. Just a rule of five little things, get the ball rolling, and then you feel good at the end of the day instead of, oh, God, I didn't do any of the stuff I planned on doing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, if we're working a 9-to-5 and it may be something we don't want to do for 30 years from now, you know, we'd like to eventually transition out of it, and maybe you love making music or writing books, or you love nonprofit work or whatever it is, something on the side that you think would be cool to eventually maybe explore on a fuller time. You know, you can even do 3 things a day or 2 things a day, where after 5 o'clock or whenever you're back, you know, maybe you just spend an hour before you go to bed, and it's kind of like, this is my self time, where, you know, I just spent the day going out so I could pay my bills, support my family, support my friends, live where I want to live. But I don't know if I want to do this always. So I'm going to spend an hour every day, like a power hour every day, where I'm going to get a few things done, where maybe you write a half a page towards a book, or you start to look into reading books about how to start a nonprofit, or you just start spending some more time, you know, for ourselves is a great way, I think, to really develop build our life, really.
All right. I love the power hour idea. That's great. That's great. And so spend an hour doing something to get you to a new place, right? Other than where you are. Yeah.
We think we need a whole day oftentimes. And a lot of times we just don't have a whole day. We have a lot of other things that we need to do. And so just an hour a day, that's progress. That could be 365 days in a year. I mean, that's 365 days in a year is 365 hours. It's a lot of hours.
Right, right. Okay, well, I love this. I hope I get a copy of your book. Will you send me one?
Yeah, I would love to. I would just need your email, and I'll definitely have my publicist, or your address, and I'll definitely have my publicist send you one.
Okay, well, I definitely will. Now, what's this tour you have coming up next year? 52 cities?
Yeah, I'm doing more about 60, but I'm going to be going on the Warp Tour, which is one of the biggest arts and culture festivals between 18 to 35-year-olds in the world. It's about 600,000 millennials between 52 cities. I'm really grateful to be going on that. I'm going to be touring Australia, doing a bunch of colleges. So I'm really excited for 2015. I have a real big year where I'm going to be going out and sharing a lot of the stories in my book to people of all ages, especially a lot of millennials. So I'm really excited about that. That's going to start. My book comes out January 2nd. That's going to start about spring 2015.
Okay, perfect. Now, you are the millennial spokesperson. What are some of your hot millennial topics?
Well, yeah, Penguin coined this term millennial motivator. I think the main thing is the media thinks millennials are the disengaged generation, but I think it's actually that we saw a lot of our parents growing up and getting divorced and stressing about everything from money to this and that. And I think it created this almost like young people are like scared to go that same way. And I think, you know, there's not an appropriate alternative path yet through the Western world of growing up. And I don't think it's that young people are disengaged. I think that they're looking for another way, and there's not one. And so I think a lot of young people are interested in ditching the traditional path and redefining what success means, that maybe success doesn't mean having a really nice house, you know, and 2 cars and 2 kids and this and that. Maybe success is really about being ourselves in a world constantly trying to make us something else. And I think that that's something that's beating in the hearts and minds of young people, is there another way to live? And if so, like, how can I start getting there? And I think this is a question young people are asking. They're interested in recreating society and adding more to it. So I think ditching the traditional path is something that really speaks two young people and something young people are having these questions. What on earth am I here for?
Right.
And,
right.
And I think it's a really beautiful opportunity right now.
Okay, well, great, Jake. You know what? We're just about out of time, so please tell us your website and where we can get your books and when we can see you in L.A.
Thank you, Sharky. Yeah, well, my name's Jake Ducey. My website's J-A-K-E, Jake Ducey, D as in David, U-C-E-Y.com. And my new book, The Purpose Principles, is out with Penguin Random House right now. And you can find that on Amazon or on my website, The Purpose Principles. And, yeah, on Facebook, off my website, you can find out for my next speaking event and all that fun stuff.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us today, Jake. You are such an inspiration. And, you know, at 23 years old, you are just smoking. You really
Thank
are.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on. And I'm sure we're going to cross paths soon now that we found we're both in L.A.
Okay, sounds good. And thanks again for joining us, Jake, and good luck to you. And we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Shark to Heart right after this.
Positive Enlightenment. All you need in one place, here at HRNradio.com.
We are back with more Pep Talk. I'm Sharky Zartman, and it's time for Shark to Heart. And it's also that time again, the start of a brand new year. And I'm sure if you're like most people, you're probably making New Year's resolutions. And chances are you'll probably either forget or dump them by February. However, I have one resolution that I hope to follow this upcoming year, and it was inspired by the tragic sudden loss of three people in my life, a colleague, a former athlete, and my dear brother-in-law. Now, all three died suddenly without warning. None of them were sick, and they were all relatively young. And that led me to an important insight, that life is precious and should not be taken for granted. Now, I'm sure you've heard the popular saying, seize the day. And that's what I'm going to try to do this upcoming year. Usually I have resolutions like other people. I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to make more money. You know, I want to get a new car, you know, all these things. But, you know, with just this one idea, this is just an attitude change. This is a perception change. This is a way to view each and every day when you wake up. And so living each day fully as though it were your last day, really, because there's no guarantees that we'll get another one. And, you know, I was thinking, well, how can I do this? Are there some steps that I can keep in my mind that I can follow to kind of keep me on track? And so I came up with a few. The first one is practicing mindfulness, which really is present moment living, being fully aware of what's going on now, drinking in the moment. And I see a lot of people, and sometimes I catch myself with this, that are either, you know, thinking about what's coming up in the future, or depressed, or upset, guilty, or resentful about the past. And that, you know, spending time there is really a waste of your life, because there's no control. There's no control. I have a student in my yoga class. I remember she came in. I always ask for a list of medications, and she had a ton of medications. And I asked her, I said, why are you taking all these medications? And she goes, because I have general anxiety disorder. And I remember seeing her just standing there shaking and just, you know, I mean, she, you know, really, really was, you know, fearful of just coming into a new class. And I said, you know, you're going to be fine in here. This is going to be one opportunity for you just to leave everything outside that you're worried about and just come in and work on yourself. And I'll tell you, by the end of the semester, she was a different person, because she spent that time, that hour and 25 minutes, just in the present moment, working on her breath, her body awareness. And it was so healing for her. And so just really, you know, spending that time for herself instead of all playing, what if this happens? What if that happens? And, you know, then a lot of us also, you know, are upset about something that happened in the past, and that causes usually a lot of guilt and resentment. And, you know, at some point, you know, at the start of a new year especially, if we can just let all that go and just have a fresh start. Because, you know, we need to kind of think about what we can control and what we can't control. My favorite saying, and I have this up on my wall in my office and also at home, and it's a good reminder for me, it's the Serenity Prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And, you know, we can't change what happened in the past, and we cannot change other people. All we can really change is ourselves. And I share that in my yoga class and my health class just because it's really, really good advice. And a lot of my students go, yeah, that makes sense. Another thing I want you to, or I want myself to focus on, and if you want to do this as well, is remember that you can only take memories with you. And I think a lot of times we focus on accumulating stuff, especially this time of year. You know, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. But instead of focusing on maybe the newest clothes or shoes or handbags or car, instead, start focusing on creating experiences, creating memories, because they are precious and we can take them with us. And, you know, it's always more powerful to, you know, have these wonderful experiences, especially with our family and loved ones. And so, and most of the time they're free. And so another thing that I really want to be aware of is to make sure that I tell people in my life how much I appreciate them and love them. I didn't get to say goodbye to the three people I lost. And, you know, I kind of wish you had that time back, you know, just to tell them how amazing they were in your life. I remember at my brother-in-law's funeral, all the people that were talking about him, nobody said anything about you know, his looks or his car or his money or his job. It was how he treated people. It was, you know, what he gave to others. It was, you know, just the person he was. And so I think we need to really let people know how important they are in our lives, because we might not get a second chance. And the next thing is, you know, I teach health and fitness and yoga, and I see so many people that, you know, are so hard on themselves and their bodies. I mean, they're just, you know, and a lot of these people are young and their bodies look perfect. And they just go, I hate my butt, you know, I hate my gut. And I tell them, I go, you know what? And your body is amazing, you know. Instead of just picking on it all the time, maybe you should appreciate it. You know, I mean, our bodies, you know, keep us healthy. I mean, you study at the cellular level. I mean, the cells are rejuvenating all the time. I mean, our bodies are incredible. And, you know, every once in a while, we need to kind of go, hey, you know, I mean, I really appreciate this temple that I'm living in, and I need to take better care of it. And the last thing I want to share with you is to make sure you laughed often. I'll tell you, as we get to be older, a lot of times we, you know, just find so many things to be serious about. And if we can turn that around and find reasons to have fun, to laugh. I don't know if you've ever tried laughter yoga, but I'm reading more about it. I'm thinking about going to class sometime. And that's what they do. They laugh. And, you know, at first it's forced, but then after a while it's natural, and laughter is healing. And I'll tell you who's really great at this is little kids. My little grandson, he's so funny. His name's Calvin. And when we were decorating the tree this just a week ago, he was so excited because we let him hang some ornaments on the tree, and he would run over into the bag and he would grab an ornament and he'd run over and he'd start laughing and put it on the tree, and of course it would fall down and he'd laugh, and it was so much fun. And it just bubbles. He loves the bubbles. He'll run around and just scream and, you know, sing, you know, with bubbles. And so, you know, it doesn't take much for us to find fun and laughter. And so I wish you the happiest new year, everyone. Like my dad always says, every day above the ground is a good day. So live each one to the fullest. And we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Katie Marsh right after this.
Lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. Next up is Katie Marsh, a former Ironman triathlete, busy mom with autoimmune disease, and the author of Juicing Cannabis for Healing. Now, Katie had severe rheumatoid arthritis for 5 years, and after drinking cannabis smoothies for just 12 days, she was able to go off all pharmaceuticals and hasn't taken any since. So welcome, Katie.
Thank you, Sharky.
Well, you know, when I met you in New York, I thought, huh, juicing cannabis. Well, I hadn't heard about that before. But before we start talking about juicing, why did you decide to take marijuana for your rheumatoid arthritis?
Well, you know, but like most diseases, it was progressively becoming worse. And I really hate taking pharmaceuticals. I don't like the side effects. I don't like the idea of it. So I was looking for something natural. I'd actually been working with a holistic MD for quite a while, and everything we tried wasn't working at all. So I was at the park one day with my kids and a girlfriend of mine, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to get my medical marijuana card, and at least I can take some marijuana to help alleviate my pain, maybe balance out how much Advil I was taking and prednisone, because I thought at least I could cut down on it. And she said, you know, instead of getting high and smoking it, why don't you juice it, because you don't get high? And I'm like, you're kidding. I'd never heard of that. And it really resonated with me, because I had been growing my own wheatgrass on and off for years and juicing that and mixing it with carrot juice and apple juice and all kinds of stuff, because I really believe in, you know, the healing synergy from chlorophyll plants. And I thought, gosh, this might work. So I looked into it some more, and there was a doctor in Northern California who was treating and teaching patients about juicing. His name is Dr. William Courtney, MD. And so my family and I drove up to Northern California, met with him, and we learned about how it works and what strains to use. And it took me a couple years, actually, before I gave it a try, because I was under the impression that you needed one particular strain in order to heal yourself. But it turns out you can use any marijuana leaf that you can find, and you won't get as good of results as you would with a high CBD strain, but you get results, and I'm living proof. I'm about 90% better, and it's been 7 months I've been juicing and drinking the smoothies, and I haven't even taken so much as an Advil.
Wow.
Since that 12th day.
That's amazing. Now, why don't you get high on the juice?
It's something called decarboxylation. When you heat or dry up the bud of the plant or the leaf of the plant, then it becomes psychoactive. But when it's raw and fresh, the psychoactive molecule called THC is actually THCA in acid form. And for some reason, when it's in acid form, it's not psychoactive. And if the plant has touched a grow light or in any way been heated, like if somebody left it in the back of their car or something, then it can become psychoactive. And I've had that experience before. But as long as it hasn't had any of those situations, then it's fine. And I was really skeptical at first. I thought, there's no way I'm going to drink 8 ounces of this juice and not get high. I was really worried about getting high out of my mind. But sure enough, it was fine, and I drink it every day.
That is amazing. What do you add anything to it?
Oh, yeah. Well, it tastes a lot like it smells. It's a green juice, and it tastes like pot. But in order to make it more palatable, you mix it in a smoothie with some fruit, frozen fruit, fresh fruit, whatever, and some yogurt. Yogurt is really key, or anything fatty is really important, such as ice cream or kefir or something with fat in it, because it makes it much more absorbable. And there's these delicate molecules called terpenes within the plant that give it its fragrance, and those have healing properties, as well as the cannabinoids in the plant, such as THC and CBD. So in order to preserve those terpenes and get them into your body, you need to bind it with something fatty. Otherwise, it sticks to the side of your glass. Like if you just mix it with carrot and apple juice or something, then a lot of it would just remain in the glass, kind of stuck to the sides of the glass instead of in your body.
Okay, got you. Does it have a particular taste? Does it taste good?
Well, if you drink it straight, no, it doesn't taste
okay.
Good, but you know, I find it way less objectionable than wheatgrass. I mean, I've never been one to really care for that taste, but I know it's good for you. You know, like a lot of medicines, it can be kind of bitter and strong tasting. But, you know, the more you water it down with fruit and yogurt, the less you taste it, and you're still getting it in your body. It's ideal. Ideally, you take it throughout the day because your body will process it, and then a lot of the cannabinoids will process through your body. The idea is to drink it every day and throughout the day in order to build up the cannabinoids in your fatty tissues, and that's when the healing really starts, is when you reach a threshold of getting enough in your body.
So how many smoothies do you drink a day?
Well, it varies a lot by how much leaf and bud material I have to juice, but usually like one really large glass of smoothies, a smoothie per day. But to make it taste better, I probably should do two because I can spread it out more.
Okay. So
you know, it'll definitely fill you up. You know, it's good as a snack or even a meal replacement, but it's just so good for you. And I think everybody should be juicing cannabis, and that's how Dr. Courtney feels too. It's not just for healing disease, but it's also a great preventative, and nutritionally it's excellent for you.
Okay. Well, what state do you live in?
I live in Maine, northern Maine.
Okay, and so they have a medical marijuana initiative. I mean, basically, it's legal, right, for
yes.
Medical purposes? Okay, because I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but 5 states now have legalized marijuana for recreational use and 21 for medicinal use. Now, the other states, you know, I mean, don't allow it for anything. And yet, as you mentioned, it's still a Schedule I drug, according to the federal government, which means high potential for abuse, no medicinal value. And so, you know, I mean, it seems like we have so much of controversy and disconnection regarding, you know, marijuana and its capabilities to help people.
Well, you know, the government is so schizophrenic about it, because why would there be a medical marijuana program in 20-some states if it had no medicinal value and was as bad as heroin? I mean, they wouldn't want people to take that. But, you know, it's actually quite the contrary. There's not a more medicinal plant on the planet. I mean, if there is, I wish someone would tell me and I would juice that instead, because, you know, it is problematic trying to obtain something that is kind of dicey legally. But something really great happened earlier this week, and it was that controversial spending bill, $1.1 trillion spending bill that was just signed. And in there, in that 1,600-page-plus report, someone put a paragraph saying that there would be absolutely no more funding to DEA or the Department of Justice to prosecute anybody in states where medical marijuana is legal.
Ah.
So that's tantamount to ending the prohibition in those states for now, you know, and it should last through the next presidency. You know, who knows what the future holds, but that was a really big thing for the medical marijuana community.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what, Katie, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, what some of the scientists are saying about marijuana and also about some of the health concerns about smoking marijuana. Okay?
Sure.
All right. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and Katie Marsh right after this.
Inspiration and motivation is just a podcast away at hrnradio.com.
We are back with more Pep Talk. I'm here with Katie Marsh, and she is the author of Juicing Cannabis for Healing. Now, Katie, you've been talking about how you actually juice the marijuana leaf to help control the pain for your rheumatoid arthritis. And you also, you know, have in your materials that medical marijuana patients should be growing their own medicine. Why?
Well, the main reason for that is cost. You know, it's a lot more affordable if you can grow your own, and you can control what goes in it. You know, you can grow it organically. You don't have to worry about trusting somebody as to whether or not they use pesticides. You can also pick the strain that you want. I mean, the most medicinal strains are the high CBD strains, and ideally this one particular strain that's available in California and not many places else, it's called ACBC 22-1, and that is the most healing strain. So if you can do that yourself, I think you're much better off. And also, you know, there's no dispensaries or caregivers that are juicing so far, to my knowledge, and you need a lot of plant matter to do that. The way I do it is I contact some growers. They tend to throw away the leaf. Mm-hmm. They don't have use for it most of the time unless they're making hash or some watered-down tinctures, but they'll throw it away. So oftentimes they'll give it to me for free or for a small fee to bag it up. And that part's nice, but, you know, what you really need is the leaf and the bud, or particularly the bud from the plant. And there's no way, unless you're extremely wealthy, that you can buy that from a grower in the quantities that you need. So it's nice to be able to grow your own. You can take the whole plant and juice it, and the bud as well, which is very healing.
Okay. Well, what about the people who, could benefit from, you know, juicing the marijuana leaf, but they live in a state where it's not legal for medicinal use?
You know, I can't tell anyone to break the law, and, you know, I'm not going to, but I think the best thing they can do is to educate themselves more, you know, take what I'm saying, learn more about it, read my book, do your own research, but get out there and vote and tell people about it. I'm going to try to get on as many radio programs as I can in those states before the 2016 election, just so people have all the information or another side to the information about marijuana, and they can make an informed decision and get it to the people that really need it in those states.
Okay. Do you feel that marijuana should be legalized for recreational use?
I think so. I mean, I think people are grown-ups and they can, you know, too much government regulation is not really a good thing. We don't need the government telling us everything we need to do. But from my standpoint, I think it really strengthens the medical aspect if it was recreational as well. I mean, Colorado is certainly a more medicinally friendly state for people, and a lot of people are moving there, especially with their children, to help with epileptic seizures and such, than it is in other states, such as perhaps Maine or places that don't even have it legalized. So I think it can't hurt. I mean, they're never going to let children purchase it,
right,
you know, any more than they can get it now, underground system.
Right.
So I think it'd be safe.
Okay. And so you have some information about what scientists are now saying about marijuana. And can we do both the good and the bad?
Well, the bad would be, the only bad that I've heard so far is that, you know, if you're under the age of 25, you don't want to smoke it because the brain is still developing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so far that shows that, you know, that could impede development. But other than that, I mean, I've never heard of anything being called this before, but it's actually being called a cure-all by top researchers. I mean, there's a couple of diseases in my book that I have listed that it may not be the best for, and it mostly has to do with the fact that it's a chlorophyll-laden plant with lots of vitamins, and some disease conditions don't respond well to that. But other than that, there's not much that doesn't respond to juicing and or various cannabis therapy. And juicing's not the only way either. You can take it in a concentrated oil form. Mm-hmm. Smoking is the least effective way because you're burning off a lot of the beneficial cannabinoids. It's great for pain relief and it's great as an anti-inflammatory smoking, but most people these days are vaporizing it, mm-hmm. you know, inhaling it through vapor mm-hmm. or through edibles or juice, and which is juice and concentrated resins of the plant are the most beneficial way to receive the medicine.
Right. Because, well, if you juice it and if you take it in oral form, it's going to go into your body slower, whereas if you vape it or, you know, smoke it, it's going to go in much, much quicker, and the effect is going to be, you know, I mean, probably more pronounced, the psychological effect or the psychoactive effect, right?
Right. And sort of in and out quickly. I mean, if you need a quick pain relief, that's one way to do it. Or tinctures, too. A lot of times people will put an alcohol or glycerin-based tincture of cannabis under their tongue, let it sit there for a while, and that can enter your bloodstream faster within a few minutes. And again, you're not dealing with any kind of carbon from smoking it, and you can get some fast pain relief that way.
Okay. All right. In terms of juicing marijuana, can they be dangerous for someone that does not have a medical concern?
Not to my knowledge, no. The doctor I met with said it's a great preventative, and it has tons of nutrients in it. And, you know, you can always trust nature. You can't trust what man does with nature, like
I know.
Taking out a molecule.
But, yeah.
You know, especially something that's green and in the sun. I mean, it's in perfect balance synergy, just like similar to wheatgrass. That wheatgrass is nothing like a vitamin pill. It's
mm-hmm.
so much better for you. And it's the same thing with cannabis.
Okay. All right. you talk about chronic pain, and there's lots of different conditions that cause chronic pain. Do you think that juicing marijuana would help anyone with chronic pain?
I do, yeah. And it's people with the people I've heard the most from are people with autoimmune disorders, mm-hmm. and they seem to respond really well to it, as well as people with tumors and cancers. It's still a debate as to which form is better, the things like Rick Simpson oil, which is the concentrated resin, versus juicing. I think experience will tell us which way is the best way for which diseases, as well as more research needs to be done. But those are the two best ways to consume the medicine by far, if you want long-term pain relief as well as healing. And a lot of people only think of cannabis as something that alleviates pain, but it's an extremely powerful anti-inflammatory. And, you know, as most of you know, inflammation is the basis of a lot of diseases. So mm-hmm. if you can get that under control, and then the healing can start to occur. The only bad part is with juicing is if you run out of leaf and you run out of juicing material, you're most likely going to backslide. So you have to do this for the rest of your life in order to stay at the level of wellness that you want. But not for everybody. I mean, every human being is different, of course, but
okay.
They need to keep juicing.
Okay, so if you're going to start it, you need to keep it up. All righty. Where can we find your book, and do you have a website?
Sure. You can go to juicingpot.com.
Ah, okay.
And I also have a list of 20 of the best-tasting cannabis smoothie recipes there you can download for free. And there's a YouTube video on the homepage of me performing a juicing demonstration showing you what kind of juicer to use and about the two-part process of juicing and then mixing it in a smoothie. And you can get information there. We're also going to start selling some grow kits next month on the site so that people can set up their own grows at home.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for joining us today, Katie. Like I said, this is news. You got to get this out there.
Yeah, working on it.
Yeah, okay. Well, best of luck to you, and stay healthy, okay?
Take care.
Okay, we'll be back with more Pep Talk and wrap it up right after this.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pep Talk, and to my guests, Jake Doucet and Katie Marsh. Until next time, I'm Sharky Zartman, and Happy New Year. Remember to take this year one day at a time.